Thank you for listening to Podcast Rock City. Don't forget, you can join us live on YouTube and Facebook every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/podcastrockcity, where you can join our Patreon for a whole week for free just to try it out. Now let's go ahead and get to the show. What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week, Sonny Hollywood Pune.
What's up, people? John, that's the Zach Wilde coffin guitar. That's the Epiphone.
It's sweet too. It looks like it looks like you could dig a grave with it.
Oh, dude, that thing is heavy as hell too.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's heavier than the Les Paul, like a custom Les Paul. It's everything. Uh-huh.
And that's awesome. Hey, y'all. Good to see you. I'm so glad you're here. Before we get started, I want to remind you guys that, and this all ties into today's show, that we have a Patreon. Go check it out. You could go on there for a week for free. And it doesn't cost you anything for a whole week. You check out things. I've even been posting videos that Sonny sent me of things in his collection. So if you want to check that out, it's a lot of fun. Patreon.com/podcastrockcity. There is news to talk about. Obviously, Ace's new album has come out. So, Sven, I know you're doing the producing of the show. We're going to skip the news because Joey is going to try to get here with us. And obviously, that would be part of the news because he played on the new Ace Frehley album. So we're going to put the news a little bit later. So we're going to go ahead and get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
Obviously, Lee isn't here. It is her birthday. Happy birthday, Lee. I'd sing the song, but I think we get a copyright strike for that. I don't think so. I think that by now is what do they call it? Public domain.
Public domain, yeah.
Yeah. And it looks like who else? It's Steve Gill's birthday.
Tomorrow,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and everybody's asking if we're both going to be on Mork. The answer is no. Sonny will. I will not. I will tell you that Lee and I, we decided that we might go on it, but a little too late, and it was already booked up. So if you get a chance to see Sonny, tell him hi. Do some pictures and then post them on our Facebook page. This week, I posted in our Patreon. On our Patreon, once a month, the Patreon patrons they pick our topic of the week. Last month, we were so busy, we didn't get a chance to do it. So you're going to get a twofer today. And like I said, Joey said he's going to try to show up today. He may be driving when he does it, but he said he's going to try to come on and tell us, you know, what's going on with the new Ace record and stuff like that. So first topic picked by the patrons is Gene Simmons touring after Kiss. So this is my question. Obviously, he's not wearing the costume. He's not wearing the makeup. That's probably or it definitely is a major relief to him. But do you think in order for Gene to play a place like he's playing down in South America, right?
Yeah, he's doing the festival run, right?
Okay, so do you think that Gene still needs pyro and stuff
Nah.
You don't think, you think he's just going to walk up there and play?
Yeah, yeah. Unless they have pyro already set up or whatever, or they got fireworks happening, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need it.
You don't think so?
No. Like when I saw them, that acoustic, they did a few acoustic shows like in 2015, I think, if I remember right. Because I saw them in San Bernardino. There was no pyro that day. Like, they don't, the pyro's with the makeup. Like, it, that's done. You're not going to see any more pyro.
Yeah, I guess that's true. How many people do you, like, okay, so South America is big on Kiss. That's just a thing. It really is. So Gene shows up. Do you think that there is, as much, not as much interest as if Kiss was there, but a good percentage, let's say of Kiss fans, they know Gene's going to be at this location, right? And let's say I'm just going to throw a number out there to make it a nice even number. Let's say 1,000 Kiss fans. Obviously there's way more, but this is just for percentage wise. Okay. Do you think 500 show up or do you think 100 show up?
That depends. Like, so like if we were to look at the rabid Kiss fan, right? We went to the Indie Kiss Expo in 2018. All of those people would end up at a Gene Simmons show. There's no doubt in my mind. Right. But then the show I went to in Dayton when, you know, they were playing the arena and I don't know, there was probably 15,000 people there. Dude, if you were to get 1,500, it'd be a miracle. You're not going to get those 15,000 people to go to a Gene Simmons show. So I just think it depends on that first run that he does through the U.S. and through Europe is obviously going to be the best because people will be hungry for something, and he's filling that need. But he's playing the festival circuit anyway, so he doesn't have to worry about like having to fill clubs. I don't think he's playing clubs, right?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Here's a question from John Patterson. My question to you, Joe and Sonny, is it possible Gene and Paul do not fully own / manage the Kiss brand any longer? It's obvious there will never be any more in costume / makeup appearances.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Guess, you know, if Gene had a way to take that whole company public, he would probably take it public if he could, right? So who knows? Business dealings. I'm sure Gene is done with trying to make Kiss toys, but I'm sure that he's probably still somehow involved and somebody calls him and says, hey, we're about to do this. Do you want to see it? He just doesn't seem like a guy that's going to allow people to do Gene Simmons stuff and him not know it.
Yeah, like, that doesn't make sense.
You know what I mean?
Ace doesn't have a clue.
Paul probably doesn't care. As long as the checks keep coming in, what's he care? But Gene seems like the control freak when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Gene is more protective.
Is that a brand. Yeah, it's a brand. He's protected of it because he knows what it's worth. I think
Paul reaps
the benefits of it, knows what it's worth, but is reaping the benefits of it.
If it was sold, we would know.
I would think so.
I think that it would be public knowledge. Who just sold there? Rod Stewart?
Rod Stewart, yeah.
$100 million.
$100 million.
$100 million. Now, I will tell you, this is really interesting. So Karen was listening to Billy Joel on Howard Stern, right? And yeah. I guess he sold his catalog.
Yeah.
And Karen said that the interesting thing was that all he sold was all that they buy is the recorded music. They don't get anything from his touring. They don't get anything from live stuff when he does it live. All of that he still gets, but the catalog, the music, they get. So this is my question, because I don't really understand how all this works, and I'm not really sure you do. I don't want to put you on the spot like this, but let's say I buy a song, one song, right?
Yeah.
Let's say I buy Beat It by Michael Jackson. It costs a certain amount of money. Let's say $1 million. I'm sure it's more than that. Okay.
Yeah.
And in order for me to recoup my money, so that has to get used in a bunch of places, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So if Beat It is play is if Nike comes and says, hey, I want to put this in a commercial.
Yeah.
You get a certain, yes, you could do that, but it's going to be this amount of money. You know, but if it's somebody that wants to put it in a movie, you don't get a, you know, do you think you get money every time that movie is shown?
I don't think so. No way. You're getting a flat fee, most likely. But I'm sure there's all kinds of contracts that say, hey, we don't want to pay your flat fee, but you know, we can give you X amount, of, you know, however many movie tickets are sold. But if I'm a entertainer, that's not the business I'm in. Like if I'm a musician, I'm in the business of just selling the music. I don't want pieces of a movie that might go nowhere. And think about it, all the movies that we love, like half the movies I love, I mean, the two copies it sold are sitting here on VHS. Like it's, you don't know what movie's going to hit and not hit.
Yeah.
And there's no way the next Mission Impossible is going to give you a piece of the movie. There's no way. They'll say, here's X amount of money. Take it or leave it. Otherwise, we'll go get somebody else's song.
It says different session writes, do you guys think Gene will put out a solo album?
It would have to be a labor of love. There's really no reason. And really, do you want one? Let's be real. The asshole was, I know you love it. It's terrible.
I love that.
It's terrible.
I wish I could get it on vinyl.
So bad. It is so bad. It's we don't wonderful. Need it. We don't need it. He doesn't need it. It would have to literally be like Nick would have to come to him and say, let's put an album out together. Or Sophie would have to come out and say, let's do a family album together. And he would do something. Otherwise, he's got no reason.
He would do it that fast for the kids.
For the families. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this guy just took the makeup off and now he's going to sit in a studio? Like, come on, dude. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Unless he's already been writing and everything, you know.
And
unless he's already been writing and recording.
Yeah, but and do what with it?
Yeah.
Like you can't make any money off of it, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. That's been his argument. You know, you never really hear Paul say it, but Gene, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, you put it out and it just gets stolen. You know, although I don't really believe that happens that much anymore. That obviously happened with Sonic Boom and Monster. People were just downloading it because otherwise they wouldn't even mention that, you know?
Now what David Donnelly's talking about on The Bodyguard, that was the, you know, that was in the time where physical product was still being sold though. Right. Nowadays, like we know Joey's got doesn't he have a gold album from one of the tracks he was on the Punisher movie or the Crow, right?
Oh, I don't know if it was that. I thought it, maybe it was. I know that he has a gold album for a play that he, and it might have been TSO.
Yeah, I think there was a soundtrack he was on too. But reality is, you know, physical products not selling anymore. These movies don't really do soundtracks for sale anymore. You see a few, but you don't see what you used to see.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's just going to the store and buying a CD or anything like that. It just doesn't happen anymore. It's a shame because people really miss that. It's just like Blockbuster Video. It's like I understand that when I turn on Netflix on my TV, there's tons of stuff there, but I'm not walking by and going and discovering anything. You know what I mean? It's not all laid out there where I could see everything. I actually have to search. And that was one of the best things. Like I worked at a record bar, music store, and it was so amazing on new record day, you know, or it was tape. We still had records when I started there, but it was mostly CDs and tapes. And it was amazing to discover things, you know, and find all these new bands and you know, or movies. You know, when you went into a Blockbuster or Hollywood or whatever, Hollywood or whatever you would come across, you know, and you just don't have that opportunity. Now it seems like the kids are buying what's being fed to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but we were kind of buying what was being fed to us too. you were at the record store flipping through, 9 out of 10 of your friends were buying what they were fed on MTV, right? So that was happening anyway. I'll tell you, I loved doing it when I was a kid. I've tried to do it at my older age, go to like a Rasputin Records and Berkeley or whatever and just flip through and see what's there new. I don't have the patience. I don't have the patience anymore.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? John G. Clark wrote, cars don't even have CD players anymore.
Nope.
It's true. Mine does, but it's like a 2014.
Yeah, I think they might have, John, I think what John would know when they stopped. Didn't they stop in 2018 or something like that? Because John sells cars for a living.
Oh, really? Hey, yeah. For you guys out there going, John, put up an ad. We need to tell everybody where they can find you. Once again, before we keep going, I want everybody to know today's show, if you came on late, is the topics are from our Patreons, our patrons on Patreon. I got that back ass word. And if you guys want to get on our Patreon so you can vote on the topic of the week next month, just go to patreon.com/podcastrockcity. You could do it for 1 week just to try it out for free. And if you like it, then it costs a few bucks, but it's not a lot. And it helps us pay the bills for doing the show. All right. I'm tired of talking about that. Always makes me uncomfortable. Let's say I want to buy Ace's new CD, but I no longer have anything to play it on.
And that's what happens, right? Is even if, like, I'll buy the stuff, but it just sits here because I play it on Spotify. Because it's easier, right? Now, like, I just got a friend of mine just gave me the new Striper acoustic CD. It's not out yet, right?
You're going to be here soon with that.
So I burned this on iTunes. I ripped it onto iTunes and then fed it to my phone so that way I can play it. But there's no other way to play this because it's not on Spotify, right? Or Classic 78. Classic 78 is not on Spotify. So I had to rip the CD into my iTunes, and my laptop used to have a CD player, but it doesn't anymore. So I had to buy an external CD drive.
Yeah, this laptop I'm on right now does not have a CD
player. Yeah, you can get a $35 CD drive. So as long as you have iTunes on your computer, you open up iTunes, plug the CD drive in, and it'll rip it just like it used to.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I find it very amazing. So I guess on that question, do we expect any music? I mean, look, I think there's a better chance of finding out that Gene held some stuff back from the vault. When you went and met him, I don't remember him saying this. And, you know, we bought the vault as well. Did he say, this is it? This is everything?
Or no. Don't you remember? He said he had enough for a second vault.
Oh, see, he didn't say that. He didn't say that when we were there. I don't remember that. But so, yeah. So, I mean, is it possible that, you know, he releases a song every once in a while just to tease fans and make a little extra cash, as little as it might be? It's still fun. Getting attention is what Gene Simmons is all about.
But he can do that without the music, and that's what I'm saying. He doesn't need to do that. He doesn't have to do it that way.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. Sinkin' Stanley said, I'm buying Ace's CD. Just support him and have the physical product to read the liner notes. I'll probably only listen to it on YouTube. That's the other thing. When you listen to it on YouTube, are we ripping off? Like, if somebody goes to it now, obviously Sinkin' Stanley bought it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you bought it, all right? You listen to it on YouTube. You didn't really rip Ace off. You bought the product, right? But let's say, you know, Joe Schmo down the road just goes, oh, I just want to hear it once, you know, and then they listen to it and they go, yeah, you know, there we go. Do you consider that ripping off the artist?
I'm over the ripping off the artist thing. Come on. It's been so long now. If these artists, and I feel bad for them, don't get me wrong, but if these musical artists, especially the bands that we love that are in this mid-range, we're not talking about the Beyonces of the world. They're making money other ways. But if Ace is worried about getting his stuff streamed and him not making any money, dude, that shit's been happening now for 10, 12 years. You need to have a plan. Can't just hope it's going to go away. It's not going away. Now, I'm a believer like you. I'll buy the hard copy for my favorite bands, but then I will take the ease of listening to it on Spotify or Apple or whatever, or YouTube, because it's easier to listen to that way.
Right.
But I bought it, so I'm good.
Right.
But yeah, I'll tell you, we were talking about Walmart's done a shitty job with this because I couldn't find it at Walmart. And if they're exclusive, how can the two Walmarts near me not have it?
Yeah.
So my guess is they haven't stocked it. They have it, but they haven't put it out, maybe?
That could be possible. I sent you guys all a picture where I showed how many Walmarts are around me, and none of them had it for sale. And when I say around me, it's the same as around anybody else. I got one that's not too far away, and then three that I wouldn't mind driving to if they had it. But they don't have it. The record store that's 30 miles south of me has it. And one of my employees came into the store yesterday and where I work, my store, and I said, "Hey, are you going to the record store today?" And she just so happened to be going. And I was like, I called, they have a copy. Here's $40. Go get. That's the other thing. She told me it was $37 for the vinyl. I was like, holy crap. It's like, okay, so let me ask you this. If there was a way. Okay. So let me rephrase this, okay? Because I want to make sure that, because this is going to be an interesting question, I think. Do you think it helps as much as it hurts? Or is it worse for let's say I put a record out, right? And I tell everybody, the record's out. And then they go to YouTube and listen to it. Half of them aren't going to like it and not buy it. Half of them are going to go, I heard it now. I don't need to buy it. Or do you think some are going to, you know what I'm saying? Could it hurt more than it helps?
I, you know, no publicity is bad publicity. That's been around since the 1800s, right? So I don't think it hurts. It probably doesn't help as much as it can. I'll tell you that there's bands that they do the whole, yeah, I'm out there on YouTube and Spotify or whatever, but if you get it off my website, it's signed, or, you know, the purple, the vinyl is only on my website, or, you know, the blue vinyl, you can only get at Target or whatever, to try to get people to go buy this physical product. But no matter what, Ace, it would be a miracle if he sold 10,000 of these. It would be a miracle, right? 10,000's nothing. But it's hard to sell 10,000.
How do we find out how many were sold? Is there a way to?
I don't know. I don't know who's tracking that stuff anymore, to be honest.
Yeah. John G. Clark wrote something down there. Sven, can you put that up real quick? I got it. It says Cole starts with a K. They should offer Kiss related projects. Get on that, Sonny. Yeah.
Problem is we don't really have the customer base that cares.
Do you have a music department in your?
No. We've sold some vinyl over the years, but it's usually during Christmas as a Christmas gift or whatever, but nothing crazy.
Rex, I think that there's been that Ace's record company did do a great job of advertising.
I got no issue with that. I got the issue when you can't get it.
You can't get it.
The issue is Walmart's doing the terrible job.
Yeah. And the reason why I don't pre-order things is I'm going to tell you why. There was a time when I pre-ordered certain records, and then the day they were supposed to come out, I didn't have them, but I walked into Target and Walmart. There they were. It's like,
yeah, I pre-ordered the new Paralandra record because I did the whole crowdfunding thing.
Yeah.
So it was like $40 or whatever. And you get stuff. I'll do it that way because it's coming straight from the band. Like, I'm not pre-ordering a record from Amazon, but I'll pre-order a record from somebody's website, and then I don't really care if it comes 2 or 3 days late. It doesn't matter to me because I can listen to it on Spotify anyway. That's not why I pre-ordered it, right?
Yeah. Okay. So we talked a little bit about Ace. We talked a little bit about Gene touring. Do you think that he'll do a he's got to do American dates, right? This is
God, I hope so.
Everything that he's doing in South America and everywhere else that he's got lined up, it's mainly to just knock the dust off that. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't understand why. I don't disagree that he's probably knocking the dust off. What I don't understand is if I want to knock the dust off, I want to do it in my backyard, not somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You would think he would do that here. If he's worried about being rusty or whatever, but he's not going to be rusty anyway. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's been touring, you know, for on this last tour, what, 26 years, something like that?
Yeah.
Certainly felt that way. Okay, so
let me ask you a question.
All right.
He plays that first show, and it's the exact same set list as the last Kiss show. Will people lose their mind?
Yes. They will.
If I was Gene, I would do it just to do it.
Obviously, I mean, and I know that is a not, it is a possibility, but probably a small one, right? There's it's going to be heavy on Gene songs, obviously.
Yeah.
And do we even know who's in the band yet?
There was so many rumors out there. I stopped listening. I figured at some point we would get the band member list. I just haven't seen it. I went on Gene's website today. It wasn't on there, but Gene's not that great at promoting other people. Right. So I don't think he'll ever put on his website who's in his band. I did hear Brian Tichy was the drummer, which is great. I think that's awesome.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, we just got to wait for that and then see what happens when it all goes down. There'll be plenty of video for us to judge him on. And, you know, obviously he's going to be on stage with a bunch of younger guys that are going to be able to put on a show with him, you know. But I'd have to say that if he announced tomorrow that he was coming to Atlanta, Georgia, I would be first in line to get a ticket just because. I've never seen Gene Simmons solo, I don't think. No. I didn't see any of that. Everybody knows that when I got my vault, that was a fucking disaster. But it was wonderful and shitty at the same time. And if you don't know that story, go back and listen to some a different show. It says, without Ryan, Jeremy, and Phil, there won't be many deep cuts in Gene's set. That could be true. You know, one of the things they said about those guys was that they pushed Gene and Ace to do songs.
Yeah, I think you know, if you got Kiss fans in there with, you know, is Tichy really a huge Kiss fan? We don't really know that. We do know that Tichy can play other instruments. So if he was a rabid Kiss fan, he would be pushing these guys into stuff. But, like if Gene had John 5, dude, Gene would be doing deep cuts because John would be all over that.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. All right, let's move on to our second topic of the week. Joey may be here. We don't know. We'll talk more about what's going on with Ace. I'll wait and see if Joey comes. So I had posted on our Patreon to vote on a topic, and this was one of them, Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. And my question was, did it help or hurt the band more? You know, in the end, you have to wonder if Peter and Ace, you know, you know that they sat back and were like, what is this? You know, we're a rock band. What is this all about kind of thing? And do you think, so my question to you, Sonny, is do you think that pushed them further away? So the solo albums hadn't come out yet, right?
Yeah, they did, because his solo albums came out in September.
Okay,
and the movie
yes.
was October, right?
Yeah. yeah. Okay, yeah. So do you think that once the movie was out, do you think that they looked at it and went, I need to run? Like, Peter, do you think he said, I need to get out of here?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, it's 1978. It's a campy movie when we look at it now. But for 1978, it kind of fits what, you know, part action, part comedies were, right? You watch like 1980, 81 A-Team now, and you look at it going, wow, that's really bad. But, you know, trying to put a 2024 lens on it. I can't imagine Peter or Ace saying, oh my God, we're doing movies, I'm out of here. I think it probably gave Gene the bug, though. Gene probably took it really seriously, and he's like, I think I want to do this. So right. Probably created a bug there, but I don't think Ace and Peter left because any kind of movie, no matter how bad that movie is, any kind of medium you got out there helps you. It doesn't hurt you.
So you think it, in true Kiss fashion, you know, there was a magazine. There was a lot of talk about it. Do you think that it helped then? You think that, so this is my question though. Financially, it might have helped. You do not think it hurt the band's morale at all?
No, I don't think it helped. I don't think it hurt the morale at all. And we already know that Ace struggled to show up, right? Peter, they couldn't figure out if his voice, if anybody was going to understand him, I guess, because his accent's so thick, right? So yeah. We already know that kind of stuff. Anything that was going to happen with the morale had already happened. That movie didn't do anything to them. Not bad by any means.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much, money that thing made, but it keeps you in pop culture. Anything that keeps you in pop culture helps, right? Like I don't know this for a fact, but there's rumors that you pay to play the Super Bowl, that they don't pay you, but you pay. Because the NFL looks at it as it helps your marketability and it helps you sell records and get streams and all that kind of stuff so that the NFL doesn't pay. Usher being on the Super Bowl just helps him be out there, right? He can say he played the Super Bowl. And if people forgot about Usher even existed, I hadn't thought about Usher in forever. And all of a sudden he shows up at the Super Bowl, right? So I don't think it hurts.
Huh. I never heard that before. That's interesting. Let's look at this real quick. I wanted to show you guys. I bet most of you have this Kiss Meets the Phantom magazine. It's really interesting. I was showing Sonny. One of the things that cracks me up is this magazine centerfold. So you've got. So the title of the magazine is Kiss Meets the Phantom, Super Scoops from the First Kiss Movie. It cost $2.50 back then. It says the official Kiss magazine. The centerfold is Sexy Paul.
How did Paul not end up doing Playgirl? Why didn't Paul end up doing it?
I think he did, but it wasn't pictures. It was like he did an interview or something like that. And that's what I've heard. I don't think I've ever seen it. Let's see. I was 15 when Phantom of the Park was on TV. It was rather juvenile then, but it fit well in 78. Kiss was everywhere. Double Platinum, the four solo albums, and Land of Hype and Glory. What's AOTP? What the hell is wrong with me? I don't know that.
I think he meant Phantom of the Park.
Oh, Phantom of the Park. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Thanks. Sorry. It's me, not you, John. Played in Quebec. Is that, I think that's how you say it, in theaters. I think they did the same thing in Australia. It played in, McMurphy, you got problems. It played in theaters in Australia too. I believe you actually went to the theater to see it. Somebody wrote Miss November.
We were talking about whether it hurt them or not. Now, if they're trying to be Pink Floyd, then it hurt them. because you can't do campy stuff for kids and then try to sell yourself as a serious musician. Like, that's hard, right? But they were already kind of Kiddie Kiss. They were getting there already, and then Super Kiss took that to a new level, right? So, but, you know, we've heard, well, we're not taken as serious musicians, but we're, you know, we wrote great songs. They did write great songs, but you can't do kiddie stuff and then want to be, like, in the same conversation as Pink Floyd. I hate Pink Floyd. Don't get me wrong.
Yikes.
I'm just saying that Pink Floyd's not out there doing Phantom of the Parks.
No, they did The Wall, though. Yikes.
Yeah, but The Wall was, at least it wasn't campy.
Gilmore shaved his nipples off. Freaked me out in that movie. His blood all in the sink and everything. Dancing hammers. It's like my Pink Floyd imitation. I just so happened to have a hammer here, and it worked out.
We don't need no education.
Sorry. That's how you know I've been doing work. And by me, I mean not me. Let's see. Steve H67. Yeah, I remember it being in at the cinema in Melbourne, Australia, back when the Unmasked tour was ramping up. And if I'm not mistaken, they had put the solo album music in it. So that's why, like, on what is it, Kissology? That version's the version with the music, which yeah. I think is cool. It should have been that way in the first place. I mean, it might have helped sell more of the solo albums, you know. Anthony Zerb, that played Abner Devereaux, is still alive. He was in Cool Hand Luke. Yes, I will tell you my understanding. I'm sorry, but my brain doesn't work the way it used to, because it's you know why, and because I'm Joe. And but Matt Porter, I think, went to a Comic-Con or something like that, and he was there, and he raised his hand and asked a question. It was like, what was it like being in Kiss Meets the Phantom? And I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like, oh, you're one of those guys.
Yeah, of course. That
was, you know, yeah. Who wanted to know about Phantom of the Park. Now, that dude did so many things. If I'm not mistaken, he was in The Matrix 3, I think, you know, so it's not anything that was like, oh my God, The Matrix 3. But think about how many years later that was. He still was able to do a movie, you know?
And, oh, yeah, the guy's probably done a bunch of other stuff, but
yeah,
Matrix 3 doesn't have a brand behind it and a bunch of rabid army fans. You know what I mean? So,
right.
You do something connected to Kiss, you're going to be known for that. And yeah, there's going to be people coming out of the woodwork. You're Devereaux. Like, you know, that's who we are, unfortunately.
Yeah. If you guys don't have this magazine, it's pretty cool. There's lots of, articles in here and pinups and stuff, which I don't recommend you taking out of the magazine. Lots of pictures, lots of cool stuff. And once again, the Paul Stanley centerfold, which is super weird. I wonder if they were trying to sell more magazines to girls. Is that possible?
I guess.
Kiss in the Dark.
Why would a girl pick up a Kiss magazine?
Oh, lots of them. Kiss. Look at Lee. She's got lots of friends. I'm going to stray off for a second. I want to tell you guys, So this week, I purchased something. I'm waiting to come in. And next week, I'm going to show you guys. I'm going to tell you what I got. I went on eBay and beat a guy down.
Oh, good off, Lord.
Not off, but down.
There we go.
On one of those Kiss Alive 2 error vinyls. Have you ever seen that before?
Good Lord.
It has like Take Me on there, Hooligan, and Do You Love Me listed on the back. I'm not going to tell you what I paid for it because people think that I'm rich and I'm not. It makes me feel bad. I just am very irresponsible. This is how I weigh things out. Take Karen out to dinner for the next 5 weeks. Buy a cool record.
Homer.
Yeah, Homer. It's true. Hey, look, just so you know, food at home tastes the same. Sometimes, and it's actually a lot of times, the person that does the cooking in this house, it does it better than the restaurant. So I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
You know, some would argue that the Take Me Live you got on the first thing you bought is the same as the 10th one you bought.
It's not on there. That's the whole point. It's listed. Or I don't remember which. I know that Hooligan was one of them. Somebody's going to correct me, I'm sure. But anyway, all right. So I'm going to show that off to you guys next week. She must be a great woman to tolerate you, Joe. You have no idea. Sonny, greater 1 to 10. Amazing, right?
Amazing.
Amazing. I have friends that constantly send me messages. I don't know what you did to deserve Karen. And I write them back. Me neither. It's true. She puts up with a whole lot of Joe. A whole lot of Joe. Anyway. All right. So let's get back to Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. So we're, you know, in a few years will be an anniversary, right? 50 years. I mean, it's a few years away, but they could do something. Or I would love to see an extended a box set. Somebody wrote us one time, a box set where you got like bloopers and outtakes and stuff like that. If it was available, I think that would be funny. I wonder how much arguing went on.
You guys with this stuff are such gluttons. They didn't do it at 20. They didn't do it at 30. They didn't do it at 40.
It's true.
At 20, they could have done it when they came back for Psycho Circus. At 40, they could have done it as part of the End of the Road tour. Like, they're not going to do anything with it.
It's true.
Guys, give up.
It would be
they would have already made that money.
There's Ace taking, you know, doing his thing where he can take them away with teleportation. That's pretty cool. This is Kiss the Talisman, the secret source of Kiss power. I'll tell you a secret. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. But my amazing girlfriend had the opportunity to name a trucking company, right? And she named it Talisman Trucking.
Nice.
Yeah, I got a hat. I don't know where it is, but I have a hat. It says Talisman Trucking. That's our secret. Nobody knows, but it's pretty funny. Okay. So do you think that by releasing this on TV, so obviously some TV company, like I think it was NBC, came to them and said, hey, we want to do a movie, right? Hanna-Barbera is going to be involved. I don't know how that ever helped. And Paul Stanley says they were pitched. It's going to be A Hard Day's Night, right? Meet Star Wars. And of course, that was one of those things that's to them would attract them, right?
Yeah. You're not going to say it's going to be a movie nobody's going to like. I mean, you're going to have to attract them somehow.
Yeah. And when Paul said when they started watching it, he sunk down in his seat. He was so embarrassed. But my question is this. The day after it was on TV, I remember going to school and kids were imitating backflipping Ace, shooting lasers, you know, and stuff like that. So when they saw it, was Paul underestimating how well it was going to be taken by their fans? Do you think?
My guess is, right, he's just doing scenes that they're telling him to do. So he does all the scenes. And when it gets put together, he realizes, oh my God, this is not a serious picture. This is not a serious motion picture. And he doesn't, you know, we know he's insecure. So he doesn't know how the fans are going to take it. And if he's trying to be a serious musician, he's like, well, this isn't helping.
No, right? You're right.
My
you're
thing
right.
is the capes didn't help either. So whoever came up with the cape idea, so, like Super Kiss.
Did we ever find that out?
I don't know, but I know people love Super Kiss. To me, I love the music of that era, but my God, the costumes are just, they're too much. The capes are just too much.
Yeah. I mean, I like it, but, you know, I'm looking at the pictures of it now. I like it. I'm not really big on Paul's, like, costume. Jason Cannon, back when kids used to talk about what they saw on TV last night while standing and waiting to sharpen their pencils. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I remember getting in line to buy pencils. They were a dime, and it had the Kiss pencils in the little thing. I wish I would have known. I mean, I could probably have $500,000 worth of Kiss pencils that I was losing more than I was keeping, you know? And yes, I have them.
Yeah, but I remember in high school people talking about, hey, did you see the world premiere video? Like, there was, you know, kids talking about that stuff. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, what do they call it? The water cooler talk? Is that, you know, it's the same thing, water cooler talk?
Yeah.
People just getting together and talking about what they like. Do you think that... I've never seen an interview with Peter saying so, but do you think that it hurt his feelings that somebody did the, you know, I've talked to Peter in person and I don't know about back then. I can't imagine your accent changes too much, but I didn't really have a problem understanding him. So do you think it bothered him? Do you think that that was something that made him go, or do you think that he had to sign off on that? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I don't know if he would have signed off on it. Most likely it would have been a pain in the ass to sign off on it. So my guess is they just made the decision for him. At the time, he probably just looked at it as Gene and Paul being Gene and Paul. It's like they made the call. And I guess, you know, they didn't like it that whatever I said didn't work out. And they changed it behind my back or whatever. You know, later on in life when you get older and you think about how you may have handled situations yourself, you take some self accountability. And later on in life, he probably felt bad that, you know, he maybe didn't, I guess, take the chance of being in Kiss as seriously as he should for the long haul. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in the real moment, like, we know Ace was like laying on the floor, whatever, as Bob Kulick's walking over him doing his parts. He could give a shit if somebody else is doing a movie thing. He's going to get all the accolades anyway, so what's he care?
Yeah.
But I guarantee Peter was peeved about it, but it's probably not anything that they hadn't done to him before. So what was the difference?
Yeah, that's a good point. Let me ask you this. So you guys that are watching right now, let's do a quick poll. How recent is it that you watched this? Like, I can't say that I've watched it this year, but I know I watched it last year. And I think I watched it last year, maybe right around Halloween, I watched it. Because somebody was talking about it. We were talking about it, probably. Sonny, when was the last time you put it on and said, I'm going to watch this just for fun?
Remember when we watched it together?
Yeah.
That was the last time.
The last time. So if you guys don't know, we did a watch along and we talked over it while it was going on. So if you go back a few years, it's quite a few years. You could find that on iTunes where we watched it and did a talk. We talked over it. Cecil says 10 years. Timothy says last year. Brad says 5 years. John Clark says saw it about 3 years ago, a couple of months ago. Sinkin, I watch it at least once a year. Last time I watched it, we were it was a watch along with Chris Jericho, AJ. More than a decade for me. Steve H 67. Probably last year, I just watched Scooby-Doo with the planet Kisteria. Jason, that's a good one. I watched that recently. It's on Roku TV, I think, for free. So that's pretty interesting. That's another thing. There's no... The one thing about KISS is they at least tried venturing out, haven't they?
Yeah, whether it's they tried it or somebody said it was a good idea, I guess you still got to sign it off and you still got to try it. So, yeah, I guess they didn't say no to a lot of things and a lot of stuff hit. I mean, that's some stuff made money. Some stuff probably didn't make as much money as they wanted. They struggled through some stuff and they win anyway. So what's the difference?
Yeah, that's the thing about KISS. I mean, they throw and see what sticks.
Yeah.
You know, what's going to happen. All right, so this was a lot of fun. For those of you guys, once again, that maybe got here a little late, today's topics of the week were picked by our patrons on Patreon. Go check that out, patreon.com/podcastrockcity. Join today for free. For a week, just to check it out. Just go on there and see what's going on. Sonny and I are going to get done here. We're going to go and do a Patreon show that we do exclusively weekly after every show we do just for Patreon. It's like a 20-minute KISS fix. We do that, and then we stick it on Patreon, and only our patrons get to see it. So if you haven't joined yet, go check it out. That's pretty much it for today. That was a lot of fun. Those are two very interesting topics. So what do we decide? What are we deciding? KISS, it didn't hurt them or help them. I mean, it's like a wash. Yes?
Yeah, there's no way to help them sell records. So if that was the thing, that didn't work. Does it keep their name out there? Does it keep kind of the vibe alive because they weren't out there playing anywhere because it was a dead year anyway? Yeah. You know, is it something that they've done that other bands have done? Yeah, but not every band has done it. So that's cool. And it's something that's out there. So I don't think it hurts them. I just don't think it helped them probably as much as they wanted.
There was one and question.
If Paul was trying to do something serious on the watch. If he was trying to do something serious on the watch back, I could imagine him being embarrassed.
Yeah. There was one question that I saw that I forgot to ask, which was, do you think, and I'm sorry, I didn't see who wrote it. Do you think, which one do you think hurt them in the worst? Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park or Detroit Rock City? Detroit Rock City, I don't think made much money, but I think it's probably a better movie.
To me, Detroit Rock City is a better movie, but I don't think anybody cared.
Yeah.
I think if people want to talk about a KISS movie, they're talking about Phantom. They're not talking about Detroit Rock City.
Yeah. I went and saw two movies in the same day because the person I was with wanted to see Deep Blue Sea. And that was in the theater. And I wanted to see Detroit Rock City. So we were like, well, let's do both. So we went and saw Deep Blue Sea. And then when we went in to see Detroit Rock City, when we got there, nobody was in there. And the guy that was sweeping up the popcorn walked over to me and said, I'm going to tell you, I've seen this and it's hilarious. That's what the guy said. He goes, I don't even like KISS. He goes, it's funny. And the truth is, it's funny. You know,
yeah, it made me mad. I thought it was going to be like a KISS movie, right? So when I watched it, I was watching for like KISS to show up, like a lot. And yeah, I was disappointed when I first saw it. And then the second or third time I saw it, I'm like, oh, yeah, this, you know, for it's just like any other movie that you would watch, it's 90, 95 minutes and it's, you know, a comedy type movie. It's fine,
yeah. All right, so that's it for the show. Thank you guys for watching / listening. If you're listening, don't forget you can come and hang out with us Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time on YouTube and Facebook. We're here. It'd be great to have you. Sonny, do you have anything to add?
Now, thanks for listening, and I will be on the cruise next week, so I will miss the show. John, I'm hoping they got 10,000 volts on the cruise so we can buy the CD there, but I can't find it at Walmart, so.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. You know what I'm going to say? Besides the fact that I love you guys, thank you very much for being here. I really do appreciate it. And if you're listening while you're driving or sitting at work, man, you guys are the best. And I'm not just saying that. I fucking mean it. You know what I'm going to say? We love Kiss and we love Kiss podcasts. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones that we love right after this in 3, 2, 1.
Peace. Peace.
Goodbye. What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's first stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.